Welcome to Raising Your Spirits. Our hope is to help you make positive changes by providing guided messages from spirit. Tuning forks, crystals, and distance healing are how we pass those messages from spirit to you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your vibrational growth with us. Your host for this version of Raising Your Spirits, Tony Ginnis.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Tuning In with Tony. This is one of our last shows for this year. We're going to be doing one next week, and I think that'll be the last one. But just before our Christmas here, we're really going to talk a little bit about miracles today. Before we get started, this has been brought to you by a series of teachers by Higher Self. This is where we do anything it takes for you to get to a lighter, higher vibration. So whether it's a personal tuning session, we work with sound. It's like a sound bath. There's no physical contact, but mainly it's to be able to look at your auric field to bring up that vibration that way. We can give a person a reading, which sometimes makes a huge difference when you've been taught how to see things or look at things, and things are now different. And that raises the vibration because now you're looking at the truth of what's really going on rather than what you thought was going on. We have also a whole series of classes. One is Feng Shui. We're doing that in the second or third week of January, where you are getting that energy through your home. Personal self-tuning kit, where we have up to 3 tuning forks. We brought it down to, and we have a 5-hour class that shows you how to use them to keep your vibration high every day. It's one of those things, you get these things and they're good for 20 years or longer. I've had mine for 15 and they're still working great. And I use it a lot. Angel reading. If you are looking at different types of ways to read your energy rather than getting a reading from someone else, we'll show you how to do it yourself. And we'll show you how to read other people with their permission. We have a business class course coming up as well in January. This is where if you have a business, like a healing business, and you want to bring it up to a professional level where you're just doing it right now, dabbling, and you're using it more as a hobby, we'll show you how to become professional so that this is what people are used to, a professional setup, and we can get you there. We have distance tuning, distance healing, different ways of being able to heal that way through distances. And, of course, our podcast, you just heard that we hit 10,000 downloads this week, which has been a great goal for us. And I want to thank Carl Richards for that. He's been instrumental in teaching us how to get all this information that Spirit has. And we've been doing this now for 4 years, these classes. And we're putting them all on podcast form, and people are responding. So thousands of people have been reaching out, and it's been great to get that support over the years. So thank you for all those that are supporting us in listening to that show and everything. It comes up every week, so we're now consistent, and we're very excited to keep going. In these podcasts or these type of classes where we will turn this into different types of form, one is a video that we make of the class like we're doing today. And this way we can send it to you just in case you can't come. And for $4.99 a month, we can send it to you every week in your email. So you get 4 hours of me every month for $5. All right, let's move on to our class today. So today we're talking about miracles, and it's such a fitting time of year, isn't it, where there's a lot of bewilderment that we see in the children with Christmas coming and all the excitement there, Christmas concerts and a lot of things that we do just to celebrate and the lights, and this is so good after sort of a darker month when we had it at the end of October. Now we're sort of brightening things up a little bit, and it's great that Spirit likes the energy of the lights and the family gatherings and all these things that are coming up. So hope you're having a really good thing that way, making plans and so on. But miracles itself, it's kind of an interesting topic because when I was guided to that we're going to be talking about this today, I was looking at, okay, what is this all about? I mean, this has been a thing that everybody seems to want. And when it comes, it's almost unbelievable, as they say. Where did this come from? So I looked at the definition of a miracle, and it says, It's an extraordinary and welcomed event that is not explainable by natural or scientific laws, but is therefore attributed to a divine agency. A remarkable event or development that brings very welcomed consequences. The Latin word for miracle comes from the word miraculum, which is an object of wonder. And at this time of year, when we are looking at, well, it's the end of the year, we're looking at how our year went, and that we're celebrating, not only celebrating our Creator's Son's birth and all that, but we are looking at various ways of being able to find the love all around us, because we're going through a lot of hard times, at least a lot of us are. There's a lot of struggle out there, we see it, but people still go right above all of that to bring in love, and that eventually brings in a higher prosperity. That's the first thing you learn in feng shui, is you are the feng shui, you are this miracle already. And when you bring that higher element of good moods, and you look at always the miracles and things, because you're looking for it. And that's the thing. When people don't believe, it's amazing to see how it correlates to very few miracles happen to them. Unless it's like a near-death experience where someone, and we hear this all the time, where a scientist that just don't believe in anything has a near-death experience and meets various long-lost loved ones that, you know, their mother or their father that passed away years ago, they would meet them, and they would meet the ancestors and other spirits and so on, and even ETs and various things, and messages were given to them. And then they're saying, well, you're going to be going back and trying to see what you can change your life in some way. And they do. So a lot of those things, when it happens, it's a miracle, because there has to be an intervention. Because in some way, when we come onto this earth, we have certain plans and certain promises that we made spirit in coming in. Of course, we don't know what these are. That's part of your destiny. But there are many ways to be able to find out. Even a person that can read energy so well, I just don't know your destiny, but I can help you find it. And that's the idea. It's like a guide. We're guiding you through whatever it is that you want to find. And that's where the miracles are usually hidden in, is how to find that. And then when you get it, and you know how to get it, and that's the idea, then you're in a better position to be able to manifest anything you want. And so the hardships you're going through now is kind of a gift. I know some of us are saying, really? I signed up for this. You sort of think. And in a loving way, yes, you did. Because it was these coordinated consequences that made you stretch a little further and stretch a little further. So the only thing left is faith and the trust and belief that miracles exist. The fact is that you're even here is an absolute miracle. It is. Because when we look at our time right now, between 2016, it'll be to 2030. This era will be talked about for centuries, going through the COVID times and all the narratives and all the things that we went through really pushed humanity to quite an extent. And we're going to start to see the darkness falling very shortly. Because of all of that, there's more light coming in on the planet, and there's more and more things that are going to really move things forward. And the real miracle is to take something that is absolutely impossible, what they thought. Like the narratives, even these days, it's just incredible what we had to go through with COVID as well. And to get out of all of that darkness and all of that control and everything, to turn around and turn this into light. Turn this into love, it would be impossible. Oh, those of you that are aware that there are other planets watching the Earth, because the Earth is one of the darkest planets, really, and it's kind of like a school. So we're sent here to be able to turn this globe into something much better. And it's working. All this light is changing, and we are actually changing the matrix of not only this planet, but we're showing that it can be done. You can be in this very dark place, and things can turn around and turn into light. So if you look at the odds itself of you being here physically was 1 in a trillion. It's actually more. I think it's 1.6 to 1 being here, because there's so many other beings and other souls that wanted to come in, but you were let in. That is the truth. You were let in, so you are here, and you have a front row seat in witnessing what the globe is going to go through in the next 5 or 6 years. We're at 2024, so at the end of it, so within the next 5 years, you will see massive changes. Even in the next 2 years, there'll be more shifts in the next 2 years than in the previous 20 or 30 years, by far. January the 25th is a special day. That's the day that all of our planets are going to be in line with the sun. So Mercury, Venus, our Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Pluto, Neptune are all going to be in one line on that day. So it's a very special time. And it's not only that, it's just that the alignment itself is all setting up for something 4 days later from there, which we call the Chinese New Year. When that happens, it is the year of the snake. And what happens is it's all about shedding. That's what snakes do, right? It sheds. So all the people, all the clothing, all the beliefs that you have that isn't serving you, it's almost insisting that you let it go. All your fat clothes, what people call fat clothes, I want to get back into them when I start to lose weight or whatever. You want to get back into the thinner clothes. You got to get rid of those, because even if you can fit into them, you're not meant to, because you're fitting into an old self. If you have old clothes you're not using, figuring that if you lose some weight, you're going to fit back into them. What if I told you that wouldn't it be nice to go shopping for brand new clothes? Yeah, I already see people with their smile on their face. That's a lot more exciting than fitting into something old, right? So that's the idea. That's the premise of even feng shui and other energies that just want you to move forward and have things in your home and in around you that is bringing you love, bringing you flow, bringing you that undying creativity and so on, okay? So the dynamics are very big right now. And this is why there is 8 billion people on this earth today. There's 8 billion because we all wanted a front row seat on exactly what is going to happen in the next little while. What does that really mean? Well, if we look at the true members of how this is going to go, if you look at the way that various myths have been happening, one of the myths that we've been told, and as long as I could remember, and I checked today, and it goes even further, and this goes back to the 1850s, where even then they're saying we have overpopulation. There's too many people on this earth. How many people have heard that? And I know I've heard it for as long as I could remember. But when I started researching it, going back to the 1850s, they were still making reference to this, that at that time, 1850, there was 1.2 billion people on this earth. And they were saying there's too many people. Today, India has 1.3 billion. One country in the area has more people now than the entire world did in 1850. That's 175 years ago. Okay? So what does that say? It says that what we've been listening to and what the narratives are isn't always the truth. And I think people are sort of getting tired of it. They're tired of being told what to do, where to go, what manipulation that there is. And so the only way around that is to start going within, because you have all of those answers. Nobody has the answers unless they're feeding it to you. But when they finally do, you realize, oh, this is kind of a letdown. This is not really it. Spirit tells me that the world can hold over 70 billion people without any problem. And we're at 8. The point is, the abundance on this earth is immense. And that's only one thing. So the real miracle in this is, how do we get ourselves to a point where we get these answers? In other words, there's a lot of things that I don't know. when someone comes in as a client or we do a reading, there's a lot of things that I don't know, but I am connected to unlimited wisdom of the energies that do know. And that's kind of really what it's like. It's like having an expert beside you all the time telling you, yeah, no, this is not right. That's right. This is good. That's not so good. As people say, Tony, how do you know? And I said, I don't. And this way it saves me a lot of reading. I don't have to know. I mean, if you look at just simplicity with kids, you know, to get kids to memorize when the fall of the Roman Empire was, it's kind of a waste, because I can just say to Siri, you know, hey, Google, can you tell me what happened in the fall of Rome? And it could tell me. I don't even have to go to any book anymore. So knowledge is cheap and it's abundant. So teaching our kids that may not be the most, you know, the idea is, what do we do with that knowledge, or knowledge that we can tap into that can do it? Of course, if you look at India, itself a country that had more people now than it did in 1850, it only makes up about 0.64% of the earth. Less than 0.5%, about 0.5% of the earth, and it has more people. So there's lots of opportunity here. And this is one of the reasons why there's so many souls on this earth right now. We've never had as many people, but there's still no problem. We can certainly... We can go through all of that. So miracles, when it happens, the first thing is you have to believe in them. The people that believe in the miracles, as we said before, those are the ones that will experience the most often. There's always that anticipation that when you're looking for someone, boy, do you find it. When you're looking for something, you find it. Sometimes when you are looking for, let's say, a fact about something. Over the last few days, I've been looking for different research on a new project I'm working on, a new class. And I said, okay, I would like to find out more information about this and about water and about the different ways water works. And all of a sudden, it's like it's a plethora. You know, buses go by and it refers to some things. And it's like everything is coming to me that I am asking for. And so, but if you look at the opposite of that, if a person is negative and don't believe in it, everything around you will show that miracles don't exist, because the law of that attraction is genius. It works in either case, because you're attracting it in either case. So whether you're attracting poverty, whether you're attracting, it's brilliant. Spirit tells me the other day that when we come in as infinite beings, we are already armed with everything we could possibly get. Everything we can possibly be armed with when we come into this planet, to this plane. Because we wanted to really ensure that we're going to be safe, we're going to be happy, we're going to be secure, we're going to be abundant, we're going to be happy in our life. And what Spirit is saying is, for someone to be able to convince you that you are not powerful, you are not rich, you are not all of these things, and for you to be able to manifest that is genius. So if a person has no money, they have no place to go, they're not with a spouse, or they're not with anybody, like, it's one of those things that you have to work so hard to be less abundant. If you look at it backwards, because that's your regular nature, is just to let all that go and abundance comes to you. We have to work so hard. It's like putting a cork underwater. You have to hold the cork all the time so it won't get to the surface. What happens when you let the cork go? Just naturally, it hits the top. And I could hold it underwater for 10 years, literally, and let it go, and it would still go to the top. Why? Because when we are holding ourselves down, it takes energy. It takes energy. So sometimes we're so frustrated because we know, like, I don't have the money, or I don't have a person that I can share my life with. And all these don'ts, I don't. I had one client recently give me a list of about 17 things, and I counted 17 things of what she doesn't have. I don't have a house. I don't have the income I have, and I don't have a boyfriend, and I don't. And it just, I just went through it all, and I said, well, are all these things, have you manifest all of these things? And she says, of course. I says, well, there you go. You are already attracting all these things. So you got it. She didn't understand. She said, but I don't have any of this stuff. But as soon as we start changing the mindset, and that's one of the biggest things that we're going to be talking about right near the end, letting go has actually been an overused word, I think, because one of the things we look at is letting go of some toxic thing. And someone just says, well, just let it go. What's the big deal? Let it go. I think it's really overused. We have to really understand what we're letting go, because the only reason we're holding on to it in many ways is somehow deep, deep down, it is serving a purpose. Even a cactus that you're hugging that hurts is serving a purpose. Letting go is the easy part, but the essence of letting it go is something else, totally. So getting a miracle done without the wondering how I'm going to do this is the real key here, isn't it? Because when we look at something absolutely out there, the first thing we ask is, well, how am I going to do that? You know, you're asking me that I'm going to have a beach house, but I barely have an apartment. Or you're asking me that I'm going to, you know, wherever I'm going to be, I can manifest this. So let's look at it this way. Let's turn it around. Give you a very simple example. It's one that's happened this summer. My mom and I all of a sudden decided that we were going to have a vacation in Hungary. And so this was in May. We were just toying with the fact that whether we should go and visit our family in Hungary or not. And so we went back and forth, and we didn't really decide or anything. So I left it with mom and I, so we're just going to see how it goes. Like in the previous year and the previous year before that, we were just thinking about it. And then there was a series of events that happened that all of a sudden, okay, we're going to go. We're going. So in May, near the middle to the third week of May, we're going in the first week of June. So 2 weeks, about 2 weeks. At this point, my mom had a hard time walking. She couldn't walk hardly 100 meters without sitting down and just being out of breath totally. Watches TV all the time. No activity whatsoever. Didn't eat very well. And so right away, when I said, Mom, we're going. We are? Yes, we're going. So pack your bags. In 2 weeks, we're out of here. And so at first, there's this elation. Yeah, we're going to visit family. And then realizing, oh, wait a second. Wait a whole second. Like, I'm not physically ready for this. You know, because all of a sudden, it dawns on her that there's going to be a bag, some kind of bag she'll have to carry for a half a kilometer to get to the other side of the airport. And then we have to do the changeover, and then the rest of the 6-hour flight, and then the other two connections from Frankfurt, which they were doing construction in, that we had to totally work all the way around the airport, which was probably in a kilometer and a half walk. And she goes, okay, so we'll go. So she puts it in her mind that she just wants to go and doesn't ask how. She just does it. Within 2 weeks, she came not only carrying her bag, she was keeping up with me. I was carrying the heavier bags, the one with all the souvenirs we were going to give our family. I was carrying those. And a lot of the bigger baggage was already being transferred, so I didn't have to carry that. But some of the hand luggage that had some weight. We're going through, and we were walking for literally probably kilometers at a time. And Mom kept up. Up the stairs, down the stairs, because, they were doing construction on many parts of the airport. And she just kept up. And I keep looking over. Mom, you okay? You okay? Oh, yeah. It's okay. She's one of these old-fashioned ladies from the 30s and 40s that were very resilient. I love these ladies. It's like whatever is going on, she went through part of the depression right near the tail end, basically. But it's just that, no, I got this. You just worry about yourself, you know, sort of thing. And she was great. 2 weeks before, she had a hard time walking up the two steps I have to get into my home. We have a couple of steps to get into my house, and she had a hard time going up those two steps. But yet she had no problem doing 500 steps at the airport because we were going up and down all the time. You know, it was an easy 500, if not more. And so what does that tell you? So when we got to the places where we were visiting family, we were in cars and we were visiting, walking every day, of course, that's what they do. After a meal, everybody gets up and walks. I don't know what it is in your family, but in Europe, that's what they do. They walk and they say hello to the neighbors, go to the store, and all walking. And we did a lot of trips every day. Then when we come back, she basically had a little side effect where she slept an extra few hours just to catch up on her rest. So what does that tell you? Well, what it is that all of a sudden, where an 85-year-old couldn't move, couldn't walk, couldn't really eat that well, transformed literally in 2 weeks because all she thought about was her family and how great it would be to hug them. And had no regard to the fact that I got to walk, I'm not used to walking. She did like kilometers upon kilometers in the airports and around, and she was great. That, to me, I looked at it as a miracle, because if I were to work and do things to work my mom into going that far, there's no way it would work, because the reason to walk isn't as strong as seeing her family that she hasn't seen in 20 years. That's a great motivator, isn't it? Not seeing your family in 20 years, and then yeah, you get a chance to do so. So you're not looking at your physical limitations. You're just looking at being there. And that's what Spirit is sort of suggesting, is between where you are now, which is easily changeable every day, to where you want to be, and just think about that. Anything in the middle is irrelevant. That's not your work. So the vision, that's where the miracle kicks in, is when you don't look at your physical limitation. Ones that don't see miracles very often are the ones that believe that what they do with their hands, what they do with their physical bodies, is the accomplishment. No. That's why it's so limited. That's why it has such a limitation in whatever it is that's going on. So the miracle kicks in the moment you release all of that and you just surrender. You just say, oh, that's it. Okay, I'm going there. I don't know how this is going to work. I'm just going to have faith. There's many people right now that are totally, totally living with faith every single day, doing things, and that's all they have, is just going to hang on to something. And it's working. In many ways, they had so many opportunities and they caught them as they went through. Even the way I was booking the flight, it never occurred to me, because we never had wheelchair service before. And I wasn't sure that when I booked it, I could have asked for it. But it never occurred to me to get a wheelchair service for mom so she could go on the plane first and they could wheel her around. Never occurred to me, because we never did that before. But of course, in 20 years, you know, this lady changed. But my vision of her never did. Just as well, because she didn't need another Band-Aid solution. Just treat her like everybody else. Like, isn't that the best compliment? Don't treat me anything special. I'm not an invalid. I'm not dumb. I'm not incapable. Just treat me like everybody else. Like, any time you say that, treat me like an equal, that is probably the best compliment you can get, is when they treat you not like because you're a woman or because you're small or your size or your age or whatever it is. You just treat it like an equal, you know? And people love that. So that's the way it is. But when some people say that that I'm struggling, I have no money, no relationship, no future prospects, and the reason that you're doing that is because the level of life that you're in, you're trying too hard. Whenever I hear that, you're trying too hard, it used to frustrate me, actually, to be honest. In the early years when I got readings from other people, that's one of the first things they said, Tony, you're trying too hard. What does that mean? I just want to get right into it and get it done. But I was very physical, very, very assertive that way, and thought I had to do it with my own abilities, physically, mentally, right here and now. And it wasn't until I really got more into it and I had a lot of frustrations and a lot of exhausted evenings. This is where you come home, you're totally spent. You know what I mean by totally spent? Like, you don't even want to decide whether or not you want to wear pajamas or not. You don't even want to decide. You just decide for me. I don't want to make any decisions. I'm done. Okay, that kind of exhaustion. And that's the point of surrender. Now, you can get it through total, absolute exhaustion, or you can get it by just stepping back. And I think that's what some of the readers were telling me in my earlier years of you're trying too hard. It's not that you're trying too hard to get the goal. That's okay. But you're trying too hard to get it to work. I think that's what they were saying. To say what the vision is and then just step back. Anybody know about the 80-20 rule? Like in business, 80% of your clients is 20% of the sales. There's this 80-20. And I was going through one particular technique with spirit, and I said, this is like the 80-20 rule, isn't it? Where I have to step back at least 80% for the 20% for spirit or the miracle to come in to make it happen. And they said, actually, yes, you could say it that way if that's the way you want to believe it. And I was always 100% in. And I think, and then it dawned on me that being so close, of course, the 80-20 rule is not going to work because I'm 100% there. There's no room for spirit to get in to get that miracle to happen. Because of that, I've been stepping back more and just, okay, here's my vision, and I step back. And that way, there's no risk of working too hard because the working too hard isn't because you want it. It's more that you want to work to make it work, but that's not your work. That's the reason for the miracles to come in to do those things. I read this one quote that I thought was really cool, and the Spirit showed me this just this morning. And the quote goes like this: the universe does not want you to try harder. You know, great timing, eh? That's the block when you try harder. It works so that, and it wants you to breathe, let go, and be open to things being easier and more magical than you can ever imagine. You know, magic, miracles, I don't know, is there a correlation here? Those who flow as the universe flows know that they need no other force. Align with the cosmos and let the magic happen. And I think this is where it hits our ego, isn't it? Think about it. If you have a very healthy ego that you want to accomplish something, there's always the tendency to you doing it because then you can take credit for it. I think when we stand back and let it happen, we can't really say it was us, wasn't, eh? So I'm not saying that's it, but I'm saying ask yourself that question. Are we so connected to the fact that we are looking at this as an ego thing where if we can attain something, it's not because of us. I mean, when we hit 10,000 downloads, I just thought it was a great achievement, but I didn't do this. I had about like 30 people all together. I had Carl Richards, and I had Cindy Little, and I had Bernie Fransgrode, a lot of other people, and then people, you know, showing me along the way, of course, Spirit along the way. And there was always points where for a while that I did stop because I was just overwhelmed with other work. And then when I went back to it, then I had a lot of other people saying, yeah, I really missed those. Do those again. And it's because of those that I got it. But I can't say that I got it. And so I'm okay with that. It's an achievement. That's fine. But it wasn't just me. And so when you have that healthy attitude that you're going to attain something, but I'm not taking credit for it because it's not just me. There's 500 people involved that was in the works for me to get this thing. And so although it's a great achievement, don't let it go to your head. So maybe that's why some people can't let go because they want credit. Just a thought, okay? So you put that in your words. So in other words, to attract something like a miracle, so it runs to you, you must surrender. Absolute surrender. And one quote that I saw, you got this last night from this wonderful lady. Her name is Gabby Kovienko. And she said it so well. She says that surrender, by far, is the most difficult and complex skill to master. Even through the paradoxically, it is the easiest thing to do. I mean, letting go, basically what you're saying is, I'm committing to doing nothing. That's how easy it is. To do nothing. That's the commitment. We have a hard time not doing anything, do you? How many people can just sit, do nothing for half an hour? I know some men can. I know I can. I know, but most people, after about like 3 minutes, are saying, I'm bored. This is driving me crazy. Because we can't just do nothing. It is in our DNA, perhaps, that we are working. We want to do something. We want to, you know. But just to sit and be something is a totally different thing. She goes on by saying, surrender is to assume that the perspective of the divine and the universal flow to make life exceptionally smooth and easy and uncomplicated for ourselves is demystifying. And what you should be doing, what I should want to do, and what I feel I'm capable of doing is what's going through our minds rather than just do nothing. It's tough to do nothing. It's hard to say, I'm going to do nothing and feel good. All right. As you allow yourself to surrender, all these limitations, shortcomings, distress, tensions, feelings, and other resistance that you can entertain most divinely align with this state of surrender. So surrender is not just a word, but most times it is misinterpreted. She says that people think that surrender is, through their lens of ego, is actually the recipe for disaster, she says. It's the kind of surrender that utilizes an escape mechanism, a route to avoid dealing with the real issues that's going on in your life, and the need to be integrative in your karma. What she's basically saying there is that I'm using surrender to not to deal with things. You know, something's going on, like every time somebody says something to me about abundance and I don't feel that it's working, it doesn't work. Let's say it's in my mind. That's my belief, that I have to work for every dollar that I get, if that's your belief. And then instead of addressing that, we surrender. We don't do it. We call it surrender, but it isn't surrender. It's not addressing something. The surrender that she's talking about is all those negative things that are happening to you already have been addressed. And you have an understanding of where you stand. And then you have a vision, you put it out there, and then you surrender. That's sort of the idea there. Okay, in this meditation that's coming up, we're going to play the water meditation. We want it something that flows. Water flows. Water is an incredible flowing mechanism on this earth. And no matter, you can't break water. I know, even if you look at a waterfall, I saw a video recently. It was beautiful. It was called Bridal Veil Falls. And the way it worked is that it's this massive cliff and water was coming over it. And as soon as water is airborne, it doesn't stay in one piece, if you noticed. Have you noticed? When water goes over a fall, it doesn't stay in one piece. What does it do? It breaks off into little pieces, little droplets, mist. And this is coming down, and then it hits the ground, and then it reconvenes on the ground to flow again. Because if water were to stay in one piece, it would fall pretty hard. If this was ice, let's say, if you threw ice over a cliff, there's a huge bang. But water doesn't like to fall hard and break itself. So in liquid form, it breaks off into little droplets. And it floats down, hits the ground, and then it just flows, reconvenes with itself to flow again. And that's kind of what we need to do as humans. When we feel ourselves falling, put yourself into smaller pieces. In other words, you're going to fall very smoothly, very light. If you're going to fall, it's okay, but we don't need to fall hard. And we could do it with some grace and some intelligence, and we can do it with some poise, okay? So in this, what I want you to do is I want you to think about an absolutely outrageous goal. Just in the next few minutes, something that you never thought you could do. I want to, like, let's say you've been looking for somebody for 10 years, just putting it out there. Those that are hearing this on podcast, let's say you've been dating and you haven't found anybody for 10 years. What would be an outrageous goal? I want to find somebody in the next 7 days. 7 days, I want to find somebody. So something like that, something that's totally outside of your belief system. Totally, like you would have no qualms about saying, oh my God, that would never, but I want you to have that goal right now. We want to be able to manifest a miracle at this point. And Spirit wants to show you, you get yourself an absolutely outrageous goal that you will definitely not say, well, that happened because, oh yeah, well, I went to the coffee shop and he was there, you know, or she was there. Something that you've been doing, trying and trying and trying, and it's not working. But now I'm going to do it in 7 days or 3 days or tomorrow. Okay, something crazy, an outrageous goal. And then what I want you to do is focus on that as if you've already got it, and then step back 2 steps, thinking that, you know, we want to get that 80-20 rule going. So I want you to envision whatever it is where you're going, just like mom was envisioning hugging her family, and then she stepped back and let her physical body upgrade so she can walk all those things. You're the same. So envision whatever this amazing goal would be, and then step back, and then don't look at what's in the 20%. That's a lot of work. Go over and look at that goal from the 80% perspective. Does that make sense? I hope I made that clear, okay? So you're going to step back, and I just want you to envision that and let that miracle come in, because it needs at least 20% to come in to be able to fill in the rest. I'll give you another few seconds just to think of an outrageous goal, but it has to be totally out there, okay? Something very aggressive, assertive, and give yourself almost an impossible timeline. Like, I want this done tomorrow or in 7 days, or even though you've been trying for 10 years, okay? Take a deep breath, because today's color is yellow, okay? Take a deep breath of this beautiful yellow like I have in my background, all the sun. And we're going to manifest, you're going to manifest this miracle for you. We're going to teach you how to do it. And this will be the essence of doing nothing. The essence of letting things happen. You're not letting anything go. We're not going to do that. But we want you to be able to make this easy. If it's too hard, that's not the direction you want to go. Okay? That's your signal. Take a deep breath of this yellow energy, and we'll see you in a bit. Thank you. Okay, slowly come out the state that you're in. Try and remember what you saw, what you felt. Did the goal seem more real to you in this way? All right, now I want you to take that emotion. I see some of them, some of you are nodding your head. Just stay there in this bewilderment like a child. Just stay there and don't do any action. Zero. This is the point that they're referring to trying too hard. Just keep the vision, that bewilderment, and just keep it real in your mind. And let that miracle come in. And let's see what happens over the next few days. And be excited that it happens. Because dimensionally, everything you could possibly imagine in your life is already around you. It's already manifested. It's already there, in other words. Just you are at a different frequency to be able to connect to it. The best example I could give from my experience is in the 40s and 50s, hotels and large companies in those days had what's called a switchboard. Do you know what a switchboard is? The old-fashioned switchboard where there was cables coming out of the desk and they had to pull this cable and they had a board full of openings or the where the cables would be plugged into. So in a hotel, you'd have 305. Then somebody would want to make a phone call and connect to room 305. So she would take the cable and plug it or switch it in at that frequency, 305, and then they could speak. So it's kind of like that, where the whole switchboard is already there. All the incredible things you want is in front of you, and you have a cable. Where are you plugging into? So if you can plug right into that, it's already manifested. It's just not in your experience. So we have to change our vibration. That's the cable. So that's the miracle that happens in there. We don't have to understand it. I mean, Spirit says they could probably teach you in a few years. But, you know, they can also teach you how a clock works inside, all the gears and everything. But do you know how to tell time? That's all you need to do, is tell time. All the workings and the mechanics and everything is irrelevant. It comes down to it's 4:15 right now. Or in this case, it's 2:30. In other words, don't work on the details. The details are the ones that's slowing you down. All right? Look at the vision and the excitement that you're getting. I'm going to leave you with this. Every morning, between now and whenever this miracle will come to you, I want you to say the following as a morning prayer or as a morning affirmation when you get up. You'll start by saying, "All is well. Everything is working out for my highest good. And out of each experience I go through, only good will come to me. I am safe, I am protected, I am loved, and I am who I am, and that is enough. I am who I am, and that is enough. I am who I am, and that is enough." Okay?
Can you post it somewhere?
I will. I was just thinking that. I had it written down, but I will post it. The last thing I'm going to leave you with is this. If we know that we are the miracle, we are this amazing miracle that our Creator has created. He made it in that image, and this is how we turned out. So it's perfect in its own way. So that would be safe to say that it's not the gifts at this time of year. It's the fact that the most precious thing that you can give anyone is your time, your focus. Because I got to tell you, in all the Christmas gifts, and we had a European style Christmas where we had 48 presents under the tree. You know, there was a lot, you know, for our little family. My parents wanted to provide as much as they could, so they got lots of little gifts and so on. I don't remember hardly any of them. truth to God, I just don't remember hardly any of them. There's a few that I get, but what that I do remember is somebody that took the time to spend some time with me. After school, somebody said, oh, you're having some problems with math. Here, let's just spend about half an hour. Let's see if we can go through some equations. And they took the time to spend their time with me. That was a gift. I remember those. And the times when my dad, when we were fishing, he would talk to me and he would spend time and we'd reminisce and we would talk about, I remember that as if it was yesterday. And that was 45 years ago. I remember, what I remember is when somebody spent the time with me. So know this, if you spend time with your nieces or your nephews, your grandkids or your kids or whatever you spend your time with, a neighbor's kids, don't be surprised that they're going to remember that for 50 years. That's how powerful the miracle of your time is. You're taking all this distraction of this world, you're putting it to the side, and you got a boatload of things to do. I get it. And you're putting all that to the side to spend a few moments with somebody, a friend, pick up the phone and saying, look, I've been having thoughts of you. I just wanted to pick up the phone and say, you know, Merry Christmas. I haven't seen you for decades or a long time. I just wanted to say, you were a great friend when we were in high school. You were a great thing, and I just wanted you to know. That's all. They will be shocked, absolutely shocked that you took the time, and that's the gift. I think that's the biggest gift, is when you could give someone that something that they will remember and know that they will remember that. They will remember the time that you spent just to chat, just to talk. Have a very Merry Christmas. Have yourself a great Christmas. Be with your family. Spend some time with them. Play with them, because they grow up so fast. You know, the grandkids grow up so fast. The kids grow up so fast. We know that. All there will be left at one day is just the memories of all the time that you spent with people. Nobody is reminiscing about, I should have spent more time at the office, or I should have bought more presents. It's all about really your time. Because if you're a miracle, then anything that you give would be a miracle like that. That's why it's so remembered. Love you all, people. See you next week.
Bye-bye. Merry Christmas, Tony.
Okay, Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Tony.
Bye-bye now. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Love you.
Thank you for listening to Raising Your Spirits. If there is a subject you would like to hear in a future podcast or would like to book a session with Tony, reach out to his Facebook group at Janice Shields Natural Healing Center or group tuning classes with Tony on his online virtual weekly classes. The YouTube channel is Suzanne and Tony 17. That's Suzanne and Tony, all one word, and the number 17. And the website is lovehigherself.com. Until next time, namaste.
Hey there. If you like this show, I want you to text someone right now that you think needs to hear this episode. If they are going through a tough time and they need some inspiration, let them know by sending them a link to this podcast. Let me know how it goes to see if it helped them. All the best.